Good morning. This message is brought to you by First Baptist Church of Clearfield, located at 111 North 2nd Street. To hear this and other messages, please go to the church website at fbcclearfield.com. Pastor Matt Brown and his congregation invite you to worship the Lord with them Sunday mornings at 10:45. Here's Pastor Matt.
A little loud. Please turn in your Bibles this morning to 1 Samuel chapter 30. And we'll be covering the whole chapter this morning, 1 Samuel chapter 30. I'll try this again. Turn it down a little bit there. But if you're thinking that this would be a Father's Day related sermon this morning, don't worry, because I will definitely be specifically applying our text at certain times for our fathers. But really, it's for all of us. But have you ever thought to yourself, it's just one thing after the other, right? It's like you get relief from one thing, only to have another issue come down the road. So maybe it's when you face some serious health issue, right? And you've been facing it for a long time, and finally you get relief. It's gone. But then what happens? Another different health issue arises, and you're thinking, it's just one thing after the other. Or maybe it's a project at your home, the never-ending list of projects at your home that you may have. And so you finish that big project after months of working on it, and then something breaks, and you're like, well, here we go again. It's one thing after the other. And those kinds of situations can be distressing and frustrating to us, because it's sort of like being in the ocean with wave after wave hitting you. You know, you made it through a wave, you get a short little breather, and then another wave is breaking over you. And that's sometimes what it feels like in life. It's one thing after the other. And what we find here in 1 Samuel 30 is that's the sort of situation that David and his men are facing. One thing after the other. Because if you remember from previous chapters, David had fled to the Philistines. Because Saul was constantly pursuing his life, and he fled to the Philistines. But then, a couple of chapters earlier, the Philistines were on their way up to fight Israel, and the Philistine commanders, the majority of them, are like, we don't want David going with us. He's going to sort of turn against us. And so they send him home. And this was providential, because David then, being sent home from the battle, didn't have to fight his own people. And he also didn't have to fight in the battle that would eventually kill King Saul. And so he was had this alibi. He was nowhere near the killing of Saul. And so what a relief for David, right? He's starting back to his temporary home in Ziklag. And his men are probably thinking, okay, we get to go home, spend some time with our families, relax a little bit, right? But what do they find when they get home? Tragedy. Tragedy. They may have had this temporary breather as they sort of made their trek back home, but when they got home, home wouldn't bring its comforts with it. Let's read what they encounter at Ziklag and what David does in response, starting in verse 1. Now when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, the Amalekites had made a raid against the Negev and against Ziklag. They had overcome Ziklag and burned it with fire and taken captive the women all who were in it, both small and great. They killed no one, but carried them off and went their way. And when David and his men came to the city, they found it burned with fire and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him raised their voices and wept until they had no more strength to weep. David's two wives also had been taken captive, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because all the people were bitter in soul, each for his sons and daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Ahimelech, bring me the ephod. So Abiathar brought the ephod to David, and David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue after this band? Shall I overtake them? He answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake and shall surely rescue. and we'll stop there. Imagine coming home to that, right? Your wives and your children have been taken captive. Your town is burned. And we find these strong warrior men, they weep. Literally just weep until they have no more strength. They're so bitter over this, they even talk of stoning David, their leader. And they probably are thinking, hey, if David didn't sort of put us in this situation of being in Philistine territory, maybe we would, our children, our wives would still be with us. And this, of course, causes David to be distressed because, understandably so, they want to stone him and because of the situation. But what does David do? What does David do in response to this distressing and tragic and hard situation and sorrowful situation? Does he try to defend himself? Does he seek a medium like Saul? Does he let his anger drive his actions? Does he throw up his hands in despair and give up? What do you find? He strengthened himself in the Lord his God. That right there is the key verse for this whole chapter. And it's our main point for this morning. Strengthen yourself in the Lord. But now you may be wondering, okay, what does that actually mean, right? It's sometimes we hear biblical sentences or phrases or words, and it kind of seems vague. And what does it actually mean practically? And how do we do it? Well, you think about, break it down, he strengthened himself. So this has to do with gaining strength, gaining encouragement, courage, and motivation. So it was this strengthening himself that led then to, and later in the chapter, stepping up, pursuing the enemy. And so the implication is what? If you need strengthened, that means you are weak. He needed to be strengthened. You think about why. Well, first of all, he was exhausted from the trip. He was weary from weeping until he had no more strength. How could he go on to the next mission? Right? His men were saying that they wanted to stone him. He was weak. But isn't that your testimony? Have you ever felt weak? What about this? Have you ever wept until you had no more strength to weep anymore? Have you? Have you ever been distressed and troubled and distraught and you just felt frail and feeble? Like, how am I going to go on? How am I going to face this day? Then you were in good company because David felt those same sorts of things. And what did he need? He needed strengthened. But how did David become strengthened? Did he become strengthened because he just kind of looked inward and said, okay, I got this? No, the second part of the statement is so essential. He strengthened himself, what? In the Lord. You see, the Bible never calls us to just muster up the courage within ourselves as if we had enough strength by ourselves. We are not called to just live courageously as this vague statement with no qualifiers. Instead, we are to be strengthened in the Lord. We find our strength in God Himself. Our courage comes from and in God. This is why Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You see, David went from this distressed man, this weakened man, by his circumstances, to a man of courage and strength because of his faith in God. He sought the strength that comes from God alone. And so as you think about fathers this morning, as you go through life, you will face some hard and distressing moments that are overwhelming. And I'm sure you've already experienced that as you've gone through life. You have a lot on your plate, don't you? You have a lot on your plate when it comes to your job. You have a lot on your plate when it comes to your marriage. When it comes to your family, you have a lot on your plate. You have a lot on plate when it comes to all the other responsibilities and things that you do. But what will be your next step when you are distressed and when you are weak? What is your next step? Will you just despair and give up? Are you going to just try to look inward?
You don't have the strength in yourself. No matter how much physical weight that you can lift, no matter how many hours at work you can do, you don't have enough strength in yourself to go on when you face distressing, troubling circumstances. So what we see with David is it teaches us we must be strengthened in the Lord to go on. You see, David knew he didn't have the resources to face the future. And so he knew the place where the resources are never depleted and where they ever flow was in God Himself. It was in His God. And fathers, the best thing you can do every single day is to strengthen yourself in the Lord. But how do we do this? First, by remembering who your Lord is. By remembering who He is. Why does David strengthen himself in the Lord? Wasn't it because he remembered who his Lord was? It was the Lord his God. He knew he had a relationship with the God of the universe, and so God to him, the Lord, wasn't just distant and personal God to him, but it was his God. And he knew that in his God there was power beyond measure. And so he had confidence that God had the power and therefore he could go to his God and become strengthened. And so while Saul was seeking a medium, David was what? Seeking God. How do you strengthen yourself in the Lord? You remember who your Lord is. He is God. Like, what a difference it makes when you remember who your God is. He is your God. Right? If you have trusted in Jesus Christ, He is your God. The God of the universe, the God who created the heavens and the earth, is your God. The God who delivered Israel out of Egypt with a strong and mighty hand is your God. The God who has no rival and no equal, who reigns now and forever, is your God. And that makes all the difference. Like, how can I not be strengthened in Him when I remember these things? Because we remember that when I am weak, when I am weary from life, I know I have a God of all might who I can go to. What a strengthening reminder. And you may be facing some very hard things in your life right now, and you feel your strength depleting. You feel your resolve depleting. But the one who knows all things and can do all things is the Lord your God. Be strengthened by that truth. And fathers, maybe you're like me, and you feel exhausted, and you feel spent, and you feel weak. This is not an abnormal part of the Christian life. This is normal, and it pushes us to the Heavenly Father's arms. Strengthen yourself in the Lord by remembering who your God is. Your Lord, He is God. But how else do you strengthen yourself? By seeking the Lord's direction. By seeking His direction, we can become strengthened. And so right after the text says that David strengthened himself in the Lord his God, what does it say? He talks about how he talked to the priest and says, "Bring me the ephod." The connection here isn't a coincidence, right? David was strengthened by seeking the Lord's direction. He was determined to see what the Lord said in order to be encouraged, to be strengthened, to be motivated and sustained. Unlike Saul, who received no word from the Lord, lived in fear, David heard from the Lord and was strengthened. You see, David was tired from that long trip home. He was probably feeling overwhelmed after getting out of this tense situation with possibly going to battle against his own people. He got out of that, and now he's going to another tense situation. He was sorrowful because his wives were taken. His town was burned. He was being blamed for it all. He was being threatened with death. I mean, think about this. Talk about the weight of leadership being heavy. Right? The weight of leadership is when you're the leader and they say, stone him. It's his fault. When they lay it at your feet and it says, if it wasn't for your decisions, David, we wouldn't be here. Talk about being heavy. But he turned to the Lord even amidst it all. And fathers, this morning, because you are the leader in your marriage and home, often the responsibility of bad things happening will fall at your feet. But what will you do? What will you do? Will you spend all of your energy trying to defend yourself? Will you try to blame other people? Are you going to try to skirt your responsibility as the leader and become passive and distant and not as involved? Or will you, like David, turn to the Lord? Will you seek the Lord's direction? When you feel that weight of responsibility, it is not time to give up. It is not time to blame. It is time to turn to the Lord. David, as the leader, doesn't point the fingers. He doesn't even blame God for the situation. He turns to God. And when that responsibility and weight falls at your feet, seek the Lord's direction, leading those who you lead to follow you there. David sought the Lord, and he sought the Lord in the prescribed way that he ought to at that time, which was through the priestly ephod. But what about us? Now, obviously, we are not in the same dispensation as David, right? We're not going to the priestly ephod. And so, in what ways do we, as New Testament believers, seek the Lord, seek the Lord's direction? And is it not through prayer and Scripture? We also have the Holy Spirit who helps us and guides us, of course. But David, for him, he had Abiathar, the priest. And so he could go through him. But what does Hebrews say? We have the great high priest, Jesus. And since we have this high priest, what does Hebrews say? Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may find mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Because of Jesus, and He's our priest, we can go to God at any point. We can seek the Lord's direction in prayer. We can boldly and confidently approach His throne because of Jesus' blood being shed for us. We have His Word. We have His written Word in front of us this morning. And so let's be seeking the Lord's direction through prayer and through Scripture and walking by the Spirit as we have the Spirit to help us and guide us as we go through life. Do you seek the Lord's direction through these ways? When times look bleak, when times are hard, do you seek God through prayer and Scripture? Do you seek God when the weight of responsibility is heavy? God's direction is best. And do you notice in this story, something that was powerful and impactful to me was the fact that David didn't let his feelings drive him, did he? Because if you think about what David just is going through, he is very sorrowful, obviously. He is probably some anger rising up because of what the Amalekites did. But he doesn't let his sorrow and anger drive him. Like, wouldn't you, if you, your wife and children were kidnapped and your town, your house was burned, think about what you would do. Wouldn't you be driven by rage and revenge? Like, I am just going to go and I'm going to get the person. David could have easily reasoned, of course I need to go and get these people out of revenge. Look what they did. But David doesn't do that. He actually goes to God first. He could have just been driven by revenge. All right, guys, let's go. But he stops and slows down and says, wait. I know I'm angry. I know I'm sorrowful. But let's seek, what does God want us to do? He doesn't let his emotions drive him. I mean, that's amazing to me, because at that moment, any of us would be super angry and driven to just seek rage out of rage, revenge. But before he took that next step, he was going to do according to the will of God. And that's because David knew that steps taken in revenge are often missteps, but steps taken in obedience are always the right steps. Don't let your emotions drive your next steps in those distressing and hard times of weakness. Emotions can't always be trusted, but the Lord's direction can be. Seek the Lord's direction and be strengthened by knowing what He has said. Because what an encouraging and strengthening moment when you seek the Lord and He gives you an answer. Isn't that such a strengthening and encouraging moment? David could go emboldened by the fact that God had told him what would happen, promised what the result would be about his mission. And we can take courage when we find the Lord's direction and through prayer, through Scripture, and we hear what He says, we can be encouraged and strengthened when we hear what He says. Haven't you ever faced something difficult, so you sought what God says in His Word, and you were just so encouraged and strengthened by what you found? Haven't you ever faced something hard and you went to the Lord pleading in prayer and you got an answer? What an encouraging and strengthening moment. Truly, as Paul says, when we let our requests be made known to God, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And so strengthen yourself in the Lord. In order to do so, you must remember who your Lord is. Seek the Lord's direction, but thirdly, we do so by trusting God's Word, the Lord's Word, and acting on it. Trusting and acting. So it's one thing to know who your God is. It's another to trust Him. It's one thing to seek the Lord, but it's another to trust and act on what He says. And that's what we see David do in this chapter. After hearing from God, after knowing who his God was, seeking the Lord, and hearing the answer, what does he do? He trusts and acts. Let's continue reading in verse 9. See what he does. So David set out, and the 600 men who were with him, and they came to the brook Besor, where those who were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, 200 stayed behind, who were too exhausted to cross the brook Besor. They found an Egyptian in the open country and brought him to David, and they gave him bread and he ate. They gave him water to drink, and they gave him a piece of a cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit revived, for he had not eaten bread or drunk water for 3 days and three nights. And David said to him, "To whom do you belong, and where are you from?" He said, "I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite, and my master left me behind because I fell sick 3 days ago. We had made a raid against the Negeb of the Cherethites, and against that which belongs to Judah, and against the Negeb of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire." And David said to him, "Will you take me down to this band?" And he said, "Swear to me by God that you will not kill me or deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will take you down to this band." So here this portion of the story is sort of a mixture of highs and lows for David. The low point was they're sort of looking for the Amalekite band that did what they did to Ziklag. And as they come upon this brook, 200 of his men are too exhausted to go on. So if you think about it, he has 600. 200 are left behind, too exhausted. So that's a third of his men are gone, are now at this brook. Right? And so this wasn't a couple of people, you know, whining and saying, I can't do it. But this is 200 men. So obviously, David is pushing his men. If you remember, they just made that trip down to Ziklag, and now they're making another trip. And so David is just really pushing them. And so they're too exhausted. And they can't continue. So David was already facing a hard mission, and now he has to do it with a third less of his men. That's a low point. But this doesn't cause David to fret, does it? He continues on in faith, and then you get a high point of the story is providentially they come upon this Egyptian young man sort of by himself. And what you find is that he is a servant to Amalekite, and he was left behind because he was sick, and so he witnessed and maybe played a part in what they did to Ziklag, and so he knows sort of where they were going, and he can direct them to David, to this band, and to find out where the enemy is. And let's pick back up in verse 16 to see what happens. And when he had taken him down, behold, they were spread abroad over all the land, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil that they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from the land of Judah. And David struck down them down from twilight until the evening of the next day, and not a man of them escaped, except 400 young men who mounted camels and fled. David recovered all that the Amalekites had taken, and David rescued his two wives. Nothing was missing, whether small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything that had been taken. David brought back all. David also captured all the flocks and herds, and the people drove the livestock before him and said, "This is David's spoil." Then David came to the 200 men who had been too exhausted to follow David and who had been left at the brook Bezor, and they went out to meet David and to meet the people who were with him. And when David came near to the people, he greeted them. Then all the wicked and worthless fellows among the men who had gone with David said, "Because they did not go with us, we will not give them any of the spoil that we have recovered, except that each man may lead away his wife and children and depart." But David said, You shall not do so, my brothers, with what the Lord has given us. He has preserved us and given into our hand the band that came against us. Who would listen to you in this matter? For as his share is who goes down into the battle, so shall his share be who stays by the baggage. They shall share alike. And he made it a statute and a rule for Israel from that day forward to this day. And so they come upon the Amalekites. The Egyptian guy has led them there. The Amalekites have no idea what's going to happen. They're just living it up, parting off the spoil that they got. And David defeats them. He recovers everything back. He rescues his wives. We find that David even takes some spoil from the Amalekites. And this is important for the rest of the chapter, because when they get back to those, remember the 200 men left behind because they were too exhausted, the question becomes, now do they get any of the spoil since they were too exhausted to go on? And wicked and worthless men are like, no, they don't deserve any of it because they didn't actually go into the battle. But David is this kind of great and gracious leader. He steps up and declares that they should all get the same amount. And you think about it, what was his reasoning? His reasoning is what? God actually provided the victory, and therefore, they should get just as much as we. Right? We should share alike. Both those who stay with the belongings and those who go to the battle are both important. They have important roles. They should share alike. We are all one people. And then verses 26 to 31... talk about, just read 26, when David came to Ziklag, he sent part of the spoil to his friends, the elders of Judah, saying, "Here's a present for you from the spoils of the enemies of the Lord." And he goes on and talks about there, it was for those in Bethel and Ramoth of the Negeb and Jatir in Ir, can't really say that word, it's hard to say, in Ziphmoth, in Eshtimoah, in Rakal, in the city of Jeremelites, in the city of Kenites, in Horma, in Borashan, in Aphta, in Hebron, for all the places where David and his men had roamed. So what is this story, the rest of the story, that is, show us about David? He trusted the Lord's word and acted on it in faith. Right? So David was showing he's being strengthened by the Lord by his trust in the Lord. Right, so this is where the strength that God provides gets real, when we believe His word. That's when it gets real. Right, so it's one thing to hear, as I talked about last week, that you shouldn't be anxious because your Heavenly Father knows your needs. But if you are still anxious if you don't trust His word, right? It's one thing to hear that you shouldn't be afraid, for God is with you, but you're still fearful if you don't trust that He is still with you. When do you actually become strengthened in the Lord? When you believe Him. Right? Strengthening ourselves in the Lord is completed when we trust and obey. Think about it this way. Are you truly strengthened if you are still weak? Of course not. It is when you remember who your Lord is, seek the Lord's direction, and then trust His Word. That's when we become strengthened in the Lord. So have you ever felt discouraged? But then you remembered and you believed that nothing can separate you from the love of God, and suddenly you are so very encouraged. You were strengthened in the Lord. Have you ever felt the weight from the guilt of sin? But then you remembered, hey, I'm forgiven in Christ. You remembered and you trusted and believed that, and you felt that burden lifted. You were strengthened in the Lord. That's why Isaiah 40:31 says, they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. So do you trust the Lord's word like David did? Like he didn't even let the setback of losing 200 of his men discourage him. It didn't make him give up or fret or become weakened again either. Right? He was resolute once he heard God's word. He was resolute on God's word once he heard it. And so, Christian, you have God's written word in front of you. Will you trust it and be strengthened in Him? Will you trust Him even when your emotions are driving you the other way? Will you trust Him even when your circumstances make it seem like God won't do anything or come through? Applying it to fathers. Fathers, what about you? Do you trust the Lord's word when He shows you the proper way to parent your child, even if it seems like it won't work? Do you trust the Lord's word when He shows you that you need to love your wife, but you want your own selfish way instead? Like, do you truly believe that the sacrificial servant leadership commanded in the Bible is the way to lead and to lead well? Do you trust God's word? Right? Fathers, be resolute on God's word once you hear it. Once you see, love your wife, I need to be resolute on that. Once I see how I should be acting with others, I need to be resolute on that. Because I'm going to trust it, and I'm going to obey it. I'm going to trust and act. Because I want you to imagine a congregation of husbands and fathers who were strong, not in the world's fake way displayed in bravado, but in their willingness to lay themselves at the feet of their Heavenly Father, trust His word, and be resolutely stand upon it. Imagine our homes when we have fathers who strengthen themselves in the Lord and who act only according to the Lord's word. And that's what you find with David. He would only act according to the Lord's word. But once God said it, he boldly acted. He trusted and acted on it. He didn't sit back and say, well, maybe. He wasn't passive about it. He wasn't scared. He said, no, this is what God said, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to trust His word. I'm going to act on it. As James says, we are not to be hearers of the word only, but doers of the word too. So convinced of the Bible, we boldly act. We act in faith. We don't sit around. Once we know what God says, we don't sit around. But we are like good soldiers where we have heard our commands and now we go and act. For David, God told him to pursue and rescue, and so he did it, even at great risk. And for husbands and fathers here this morning, we are told to what? Sacrificially love and lay down our lives for our wives. And so we boldly act. We love and protect others. That's what we are called to do. So as men, we do not sit on the sidelines and let our wives and children take the arrows for us. We go into the front lines and we go empowered by God's promises, strengthened in the Lord. We take risks out of faith-filled love and obedience. But with David, we also see we are gracious leaders. We are gracious leaders. In this story, even being the leader, David treated everyone he interacted with grace. When he heard about the being threatened with stoning, he didn't take it out on his men. You don't challenge my authority. You don't see him doing that. He turns to the Lord. The Egyptian slave, he didn't torture him for information. He fed him this lavish meal and was kind to him. The men who stayed at the brook, man, he could have scolded them, couldn't he? But no, he says, you get the spoils too, guys. The elders of Judah, he's willing to just share spoils with all these elders of Israel. And show gratitude for them. That is grace-filled leadership. Leadership that shows grace to others. That kindness to others. That doesn't just go around pounding its fist at people and yelling people down and saying, don't challenge my authority and I'm in leadership here. No, it is grace-filled leadership. You see, David could have kept all the spoils for himself. Because you remember, the people were saying, what? This is David's spoil. But what do you see David doing? Here you go. Here you go, elders of Judah. Here you go, men who were too exhausted to go with us and didn't even fight in the battle. Here you go. Even though they say it's mine, here you go. Because he was humble and gracious and sacrificial and loving and he didn't even take the credit for the victory. Do you see that? His humility, he says, God gave the victory to us. We prevail because God did it for us. How could such a strong leader such as David show such grace and humility? Because grace flows out of us because of the grace that comes to us. Grace flows out of us because of the grace flowing towards us. David recognized that God had graciously gave him the direction, gave him the success of the mission, and therefore he can show grace to other people. And did you notice, what is the result of this gracious and humble and loving leadership? What is the result? It cultivates peace and unity, doesn't it? David is uniting the people. That fight between the 200 and the 400 men could have got ugly. But David was gracious and kind, and he quelled that and brought peace. He's sending out the spoils to the elders of Israel, and he is what? Uniting the people under himself. That is what humble, gracious leadership does. It cultivates peace and unity among people, doesn't it? So think about this, fathers. You can foster peace and unity in your home when you lead in humility and grace. But when you selfishly and you harshly or you passively lead, you actually foster selfishness and division among your family. That's why we see that is truly there's blessing when we lead God's way, isn't there? Do you trust the Lord's word and act on it? Do you trust Him and act on it? When you trust Him, you're strengthened in Him and boldly act in faith. And so we see this teaches us that God has all that you need, so strengthen yourself in Him. You know, this story is helpful for us as we learn from David. But ultimately, as you think about David's whole life, you see, in many points, he points us ultimately to Jesus. As you see, David is sort of this small glimpse of Jesus. He'd be this greater David, the son of David, because Jesus perfectly obeyed the Father in all that he did. Jesus rescued his people, not just temporarily like David, but for once and for all on the cross, right? In conquering our enemies. Like David, in his victory, he's leading captives and giving out gifts of the spoil. What do we find in Ephesians? About Jesus, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. Through his victory, we are rescued and blessed through his gracious gifts to us. And even greater than David, Christ is the truly perfect, gracious, and humble leader and Savior that we need. So this morning, I'm sure there's many of you who are weary. Go to Jesus to be strengthened. There are many of you who have been weeping until you have no more strength to weep. Go to Jesus to be strengthened. Because it's in Him that we have all that we need. It is He who we turn to because we remember who Jesus is. He is the Lord. He is God. It is He who we look for direction because He is the great Savior and Head of the Church. It is He who we trust, for in Him there is life and peace and joy forevermore. And it is in Him that we are strengthened. We are capable of doing all things through Christ, who strengthens us, for He gives us the power. Christ has all that you need, so will you strengthen yourself in Him? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come today, and I just pray that for anyone out there, and I'm sure there are many who are weary, who have been weeping, and who are weak, that they would turn to You, that they would realize that You have all that we need. So we don't look elsewhere, we don't look inward, we don't look other places, but we look to You for the strength and the encouragement and the comfort and the motivation and the power to go through each day because You have the grace that we need. You have the strength that we need. So help us to look to You in Your direction and to trust You in that. Lord, You are the great God, good God to us. You have showed so much grace to us through Jesus. And help us, like David, to show grace and love to other people as we go through this week. In Jesus' name, amen.